Emptiness, an exposition of Ecclesiastes chapter 1 verses 1 through 11. This message by Pastor Rod Harris was delivered at Trinity Baptist Church on Sunday morning, July the 11th, 2010.
Let's pray together. Father, I pray as we come to your word that you will open it to us. I pray for the ministry of the Holy Spirit to take the truth of your word and make application to our hearts. Speaking to us that word that we need to hear. That word that will encourage, that word that will strengthen, that word that will challenge us, drive us to you. As you speak, grant to us eyes to see, ears to hear, and courage and boldness to live. May your word come alive, and may we seek to live out its truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Power is an illusion. Fame is fleeting, and life is just a vapor. We spend our days clawing, fighting, trying to reach the top in the hopes that maybe we can achieve some level of success. Maybe we'll accomplish some great thing. All the while knowing that the vast majority of us are going to live and die in obscurity. Few, if any, will take note that we've even traveled this road. Oh, and those who do manage to achieve notoriety, they too will be forgotten. Doris Kearns Goodwin is a presidential biographer, and she's written many excellent books, and I want to share with you some haunting words that she says about Lyndon Baines Johnson. A month before he died, he spoke to me with immense sadness in his voice. He says he was watching the American people absorbed in a new president, forgetting him, forgetting even the great civil rights laws that he had passed. He was beginning to think his quest for immortality had been in vain, that perhaps he should have been focused more of his time and attention on his wife and his children, so that he could have had a different sort of immortality through his children and their children in return. He could have depended on them in a way he couldn't depend on the American people. But it was too late. 4 weeks later, he was dead. Despite his money and power, he was completely alone when he died. His ultimate terror realized. He was once the most powerful man in the world. And within just a few years, he died completely alone. Just another of the once great who are now just a footnote in history. Is it any wonder the preacher cried out, "Vanity, vanity, all is vanity. Emptiness, nothingness, such is all of life." We live in a skeptical age among jaded people. Life has been robbed of any meaning whatsoever. The endless pursuit of materialism has proven fruitless. The power of pleasure to satisfy has proved an illusion. And we're left to wonder, is life worth living? It's a valid question. By the way, we're not the first people to wonder about it. We're not the first to question it. 10 centuries before Christ, a perceptive preacher asked, "What does man gain by the toil at which he toils under the sun?" In other words, what's the use? What advantage, what profit, what do I have at the end of the day for all of my work? Is life worth living? Our text this morning is found in Ecclesiastes chapter 1. We're going to look at verse 1 through verse 11. If you need some help, go to Psalms and turn right. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. We're going to begin this morning a series of messages out of this book. And let's go ahead and admit it up front. This is an odd book. This is a very strange book. It's confusing. It's difficult to understand. You read the book of Ecclesiastes, and at many points you're scratching your head saying, "What does that mean?" It's a difficult book. It's a troubling book. It's part of the wisdom literature of the Old Testament. Though its author is not named, it is assumed it's Solomon as a son of David who was king in Jerusalem. And when we read about his wealth and his influence and his power, it's more than likely Solomon as the author. If so, Solomon wrote 3 of the Old Testament books. The Song of Solomon, or the Song of Songs, written early in his life as he celebrates marital bliss, as he rejoices in the wife of his youth. The book of Proverbs that tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning, it's the basis of wisdom, written sometime in midlife. And then this little book, written at the end of his life, as he surveys his life, as he looks back over his experience, and he comes to this conclusion, life apart from God is a foolish, empty thing. The book has been a source of conflict for years. There have been those struggling try to understand it. You read the book of Ecclesiastes, you find yourself asking some questions. The first thing you might ask is, who is this person? Are these the rantings of an eternal pessimist? The book's pretty depressing. When you read the book and you read the conclusions, you find yourself saying, I don't want to read too much of this at one time. It's depressing. But maybe it's not just the rantings of a depressed man. Maybe it's the reasoned argument of a skeptic. Maybe he's just some kind of philosophical person and reflecting on life and looking at it. He's a little bit jaded and maybe this is a whole system that he's worked out and he's just skeptical about life. What's certain is this. He makes statements that seem to just directly contradict other scriptures. At the very least, he says some very unorthodox things. Let you know my perspective. When I read the book, as I was reading through it and listening to his words, I thought at the very least, this guy has issues. He seems to be a troubled and disturbed man. But we need to understand that what's happening in the book with these dark and foreboding and sad conclusions, those aren't his ultimate conclusions. To get his ultimate conclusion, we have to wait to the end of the book. But along the way, he's talking out loud. As you read the book of Ecclesiastes, what you need to understand is the writer is working through some questions. And he's working through it out loud. He's talking himself through these issues. And we get to travel with him. We get to walk along with him and discover along with him the folly of satisfaction found anywhere other than in God. I want you to keep that in mind as we make our way through this book over the next several weeks. Let me give you a hint. Let me give you a clue to understanding the book. As you read along for the next few weeks, be looking for the phrase under the sun, because that's an interpretive key. In understanding what the writer is trying to say, in understanding why he makes some of the statements he makes, look for the phrase under the sun. It's used around 38, 39 times throughout the book. And when you read that, you need to understand what he's saying is, if you consider life apart from the person of God, if you're trying to ascertain what is of value when you take God completely out of the equation, here is the end result. So understand that when he comes to the difficult and dark conclusions he does, he's saying, if there is no God, this is the end of all things. If God isn't there, if the scriptures are not true, this is what we're left with. If there is no God, this is the logical end of all things. Now, this book was written 10 centuries before the Lord Jesus. Yet it's as up to date as tomorrow morning's headlines. It's a valuable book, given the world we live in, because it's written in a world that is often frustrating and confusing. And it helps make a little sense of it all. Look with me, Ecclesiastes chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What does man gain by all the toil at which he toils under the sun? A generation goes and a generation comes, but the earth remains forever. The sun rises and the sun goes down and hastens to the place where it rises. The wind blows to the south and goes around to the north. Around and around goes the wind, and on its circuits the wind returns. All streams run to the sea, but the sea is not full. To the place where the streams flow, there they flow again. All things are full of weariness. A man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. What has been is what will be. And what has been done is what will be done. And there is nothing new under the sun. Is there a thing of which it is said, see, this is new? It's already been in the ages before us. There is no remembrance of former things, nor will there be any remembrance of latter things yet to be among those who come after. That's just the kind of thing you want to put on your refrigerator. That's just one of those encouraging things that you want to tack up there and make sure you see it every day. It's depressing. It's difficult. You read passages like this and you think, was Paul serious when he says all Scripture is profitable? Was Paul serious that it's all good and it all happened? Yeah. This is a troubling passage, but its message is clear. Life apart from Christ is a vain, empty pursuit. That's his message. Life apart from Christ, life without God, life without the things of God, life with no thought to God or his word, is a vain, empty pursuit. Unprofitable thing. I want to point out some things to you as we work our way through this text. First of all, in verse 1 down through verse 8, I want you to see that life apart from Christ, is filled with never-ending drudgery that leads nowhere. Life apart from Christ is just endless drudgery. It doesn't go anywhere. It just comes around on itself again. In the first verse, we get the title of the book, The Words of the Preacher, Son of David, King in Jerusalem. The title Ecclesiastes comes from the term that's translated here, preacher. In the Hebrew, the word is koheleth. In the Greek, it's ecclesia, the gathering, the assembling of the people. And specifically, this is the one who gathers them, the one who assembles the people together. So it's translated here, the preacher. The one that gets everybody together because he has something he wants to say to them. And he identifies himself as a son of David, king in Jerusalem. That's the reason why we assume it's Solomon, because after Solomon, the kingdom is divided, and that's clearly not the case in the writing here. So Solomon is writing. He has some things to say. He's at the end of his life. He's an old man. He's looking back over his life. He's assessing the life that he's lived, and he's come to this conclusion, and it's a pretty depressing conclusion. He states his conclusion at the beginning, verse 2. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. It's a shocking announcement, and it's right here at the beginning. He doesn't warm to his subject. He doesn't bring us in carefully a little at a time. He doesn't get us ready. He doesn't prepare us. He doesn't say, I'd sit down, I got a few things I want to say to you. How are you feeling? Or is everything all right with you? And just general small talk and then ease into it. He just slaps us in the face at the beginning. Worthless. Empty. Vain. Now, what is empty? What is worthless? What's vain from the perspective of the preacher? Everything. Vanity of vanities, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. The old shooting match, everything is vain. So it's superlative. Remember in Isaiah chapter 6 when the seraphim are flying about and they're talking about God and they say, holy, holy, holy. They're saying He is the most holy thing there is. That in Hebrew you repeat something to emphasize it, and it's a way of, we say this is good, this is better, this is the best. Well, the way they would say it is it's good, good, good. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. You say, it's just vain, it's empty, it's transient, it's a vapor, it's passing with nothing left to show for it. One writer said in defining the word that's used here, vanity, he said, well, I'll tell you what it is. It's what's left over when you burst a soap bubble. That's what we're talking about. Empty, transient, passing is everything. The whole of life. That's a pretty depressing thought. So it begs the question in verse 3. What does a man gain by all the toil at which he toils? If all of life is vain, if all of life is empty and worthless and transient and passing, what's the value of work? It's the value of living. And there's nothing to show for it when it's all over. You're left with nothing. Seems this guy's got issues. But did you catch it? Vanity of vanities. Vanity of vanity. All is vanity. What profit is there for all the toil with which a man toils? Did you catch it? under the sun. Life without God, where does it lead? What do we have to show for it when it's all said and done? If there is no God, we're left with an empty, vaporous nothing. Now, to emphasize his point, he's going to call our attention to a few things. And so he begins by surveying history in verse 4. Now, the preacher here sounds very postmodern. It's as if he agrees with current philosophers that there is no ultimate truth, and if there's no ultimate truth, then truth has no meaning. What's the point? If my truth is whatever I want to make it, and your truth is whatever you want to make it, and if we both have our truths and they're contradictory, then ultimately truth has no meaning. Seems to be what he's saying. If you take God out, what are you left with? He looks at history and he says in verse 4, a generation goes and a generation comes, but the earth remains forever. What's he saying? People come and go. Empires rise and fall. History marches on. And nothing changes. It's the same thing. Again and again. Over and over. Turning from history, then he turns to science and he looks at the natural world around us, beginning in verse 5. And what does he say? The sun rises and the sun goes down. And it hastens to the place where it rises again. The sun comes up in the morning, it goes down in the evening, and it runs right back around so it can come back up again. It's just the same thing over and over. The wind blows to the south and goes around to the north. Around and around goes the wind, and its circuit, the wind returns. The same thing again and again. Verse 7. All streams run to the sea, but the sea is not full. To the place where the streams flow, there they flow again. All the streams flow to the sea. So if you got all this water always flow into the sea, how come the sea never gets full? It just repeats itself over and over and over and over. History, the same thing again and again and again and again. And a generation comes and it dies off. But there's another right behind it, and they come and they die off. But another follows. It's just endless. We didn't get anywhere. We're just at the same place. The wind blows, runs the same circuit. Sun rises only to rise again. Vanity, vanity, all is vanity. What's his conclusion? Look at verse 8. All things are full of weariness. A man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, the ear is not full with hearing. Empty, hopeless, transient. The great philosopher Woody Allen made this statement. More than at any other time in history, mankind stands at a crossroads. One path leads to despair and utter hopelessness. The other to total extinction. Let us pray that we have the wisdom to choose correctly. Let's see. Absolute despair and hopelessness, or extinction. I hope I make the right choice. It's a vain, worthless, empty pursuit. Life under the sun. Life apart from God. Life with God taken out of the equation. Life under the sun leads to despair and hopelessness or extinction. Either way, it's an empty pursuit full of drudgery and going nowhere. Second, life apart from Christ is a meaningless, monotonous exercise. Look at verses 9 and 10. What has been is what will be. And what has been done is what will be done. And there's nothing new under the sun. Is there a thing of which it can be honestly said, see, this is new? It's already been in the ages before us. Let me ask you, when you picture the preacher saying all this, how do you sing? You know what I see? When I close my eyes and just listen to the words, you know what I see? Eeyore. And his ears are drooped and they're dragging the ground and he's saying, oh, bother. I mean, this is a depressing message. But he's saying life apart from Christ, life without thought to God, is a meaningless, monotonous pursuit. It's just what's always been. What's been always has been, and what has been will continue to be. So there's nothing new. Is he serious? I mean, haven't you seen the new iPhone? Or the iPad? Have you had a hip replaced, a knee replaced? What do you mean there's nothing new under the sun? There are all kinds of new things. Now what he's saying is, apart from all the gadgets and gizmos, apart from all the inventions, the heart cry of every man, woman, boy, and girl is what it always has been. And nothing satisfies. In spite of the advances, in spite of our new knowledge, in spite of our technology, in spite of all the stuff that we've accumulated, in spite of the prospect for better living and new higher standards of living, add it all up, and man is just as empty as he's always been. Actually, I think he's emptier than he's always been. Because there's nothing sadder than drowning in a sea of stuff that cannot, that will not satisfy. What he says in verses 9 and 10 is that life is stuck. Those of you who are old enough to remember records know that you would put it on, and sometimes due to a scratch, it just kept same, 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 same. Bump it. Same, same. The writer says, that's what life is. It's the same old thing over and over and over and over. And it doesn't get any better. And it's all going to end the same as it has always ended. Meaningless, empty, transient, nothing. Life apart from Christ and the things of God is an endless drudgery that leads nowhere. It is a meaningless, monotonous existence. the last thing in verse 11. Life apart from Christ is an empty memory. Look at what he says. There is no remembrance of former things, nor will there be any remembrance of latter things yet to be among those who come later. Generations come and generation goes, and no one remembers. See, when you and I give thought to our life and we look back over our days, no one's going to remember. Oh, my kids will. Yeah? Then they'll be gone. Oh, my grandkids, maybe. Provided you had enough time and influence with them, they'll remember, but one day they'll be gone. It won't be that long down the road and you'll be a picture they point to and say, this is who and this is what they. I hate to break it to you, but it's not too far down the road. They'll be pointing at that picture saying, I don't remember the name, but every great leader has been forgotten. Names that we read in the history book and we say, oh yeah, boy, he's somebody important. His name's in a history book. Nobody remembers. Life apart from Christ and the things of God is an empty memory. They don't remember and they don't care. Because deep down they know time is coming when they're not going to be remembered either. What is the preacher saying? What is his point? His point is that life apart from God is a never-ending drudgery leading nowhere. It is a meaningless, monotonous existence, an empty memory. Alexander McLaren talks of the folly, the sentimental folly of man marking his time. He says it's kind of like standing in a river to mark your place. When you get out, it goes right on. He says, the world is filled with births and deaths. And it seems the main furniture is a cradle and a coffin. And man is but a lodger, a boarder in an old house. There is a time when man says, this is mine. But he fades, he passes, and the house remains. What's it profit? All this toil that a man toils under the sun. It's a vain, empty pursuit. In contrast to that, do you remember what Jesus said? I have come that you might have life and that you would have that life in abundance. Amen. Overflowing. Filled. Augustine said, there is in the heart of every man a God-shaped vacuum, a hole, an emptiness that can only be filled by God. Stuff it with anything else, it's still empty. Only God can fill the void. That's what the writer, the preacher, is saying. Life apart from God is a vain, empty pursuit. But in Christ, there's life full and abundant. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for the truth of your word. I thank you that because you're true and holy and righteous, you speak the truth to us. And I understand that you look at a passage like we've looked at this morning, and it's depressing. It's a difficult thing to look at. And yet it's necessary. Because unless and until we understand the misery, the emptiness of life without Christ, we'll never understand and enjoy and appreciate the life that is ours in Christ. Lord, I pray for those who are here today without Christ. I pray that you would reveal to them the misery of their life and the emptiness of their future. And then grant to them faith to believe, courage to trust, and eyes to see the wonder, the beauty of life in Christ. Lord, for those who are your children, who have wasted their days in the pursuit of that which will never satisfy, I pray that today will be a new beginning. Today will cause them to come home. And just the honest confession of, what a waste of my time. And find their fulfillment and their joy in Christ and in Christ alone. Lord, accomplish your purpose in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to a Plowman podcast. Find us on the web at theplowman.org. The Plowman features the preaching ministry of Rod Harris, pastor of Trinity Baptist Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma, located at the corner of 41st and Union. To learn more about the ministries at Trinity Baptist Church, visit us on the web at www.tbctulsa.org.